everybody. This is Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed's producing and engineering the show. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, the middle of the month, September 15th, 2015. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream the show, which means you don't need to be by a radio, but if you're by a computer, no problem. Got you covered. KVOI.com. or buckmastershow.com. You can stream the show, and then after the show's over, we've got the podcasts and all of our archived programs 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. A full hour, as usual, of content today. UA climatologist Zach Guido talking about the recap of monsoon 2015. Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, came in with a huge smile on his face. And who wouldn't? The market's up over 200 points. Shelley will have our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. 12:30, we have Pima Community College Chancellor Lee Lambert with us. Then we'll close out the show. We do the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. The live line number 790-2040. And if you'd like to be a Facebook friend, it's easy to find. Bill Buckmaster is our Facebook page. And now we're getting into the Twitter thing, at Buckmaster Show on Twitter. Let's welcome now Zach Guido. Zach Guido, UA climate scientist with the Climate Assessment for the Southwest Group at the University of Arizona-based Institute of the Environment. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Bill.
Dr. Guido now, and so we congratulate you on your PhD. The summer thunderstorm season, basically in the history books for 2015. As I was out walking last night, Zach, I got caught in a rain shower, and I thought, that might be the last rain we'll see for quite a while. But then again, with El Nino knocking at the door, October could even be wet. Because I remember a few years back when we were in an El Nino, winter kind of came early.
Yeah, so you bring up a very important subject, El Nino, which has been brewing for some time and looks to be one of the major events historically, you know, and that tends to influence the winter precipitation, but also tends to influence the sort of hurricane activity in the East Pacific. You know, that follows the monsoon. You know, I think, you know, the monsoon, which you asked me to talk a little bit about, rarely disappoints. You know, it has many different flavors, and I think this year, it had its own nuances, and you know, it's challenging to sort of summarize the monsoon because you got to take all of this spatial variability and boil it down to a number. But what I'm going to say is, I think the monsoon was more or less average this year.
Okay.
In terms of precipitation, of course, it depends. It depends where you are.
Sure.
If you don't mind, I'm going to throw out some numbers.
Go ahead.
About 40% of Arizona has experienced below average precipitation, below 75% of their average. About 50% of Arizona has experienced between 75% and 125% average, so near average. Mm-hmm. And then about 10% above average, above 125% of average. So that's a pretty normal breakdown. And again, it depends on where you are. Like the White Mountains did well, parts of the White Mountains did well, parts of Southeast Arizona did well. The central area, the Phoenix area, and a little bit to the west didn't do as well.
So it's kind of an average season, but not really a drought buster. I think we're still considered most of Arizona is in drought conditions.
Yeah.
And has been for more than a dozen years, some say 15 years.
Yeah, we're sort of perpetually in drought. I think, you know, there has been some slight improvements in both sort of how we look at long-term drought over, you know, 2-3 years. And there's been some slight improvements in short-term drought conditions, but not a ton of movement. So most of the state is still within moderate drought conditions, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor, and also abnormally dry conditions. So a lot of the drought is influenced by what this winter will do. And so we are sort of keeping our eye on the clouds in January, February, and March.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, and I really hadn't looked at it this way, but we do have the distinct summer thunderstorm season, i.e. monsoon, middle of June, middle of September, technically, I guess it's the end of September for the record books. But there is a distinct now season, which we could call the hurricane spillover season
right.
for southern Arizona, and that is the activity with the warming going on in the eastern Pacific with El Nino, which will be very conducive later this month into October, even November, for hurricanes, where then we get kind of the leftovers
right.
of those hurricanes off Mexico.
Yeah, that's right. And the hurricane season in the East Pacific, it starts as early as June, and it's been a very active season. So far, there's been 17 storms there. 11 have been hurricanes. Mm. 8 of those have been major hurricanes. On average, it's about, I think, 3 major hurricanes in the East Pacific. They tend that the hurricanes tend to go out westward early on in the season, and then as the sort of temperatures cool and the winds from the westerlies move southwards, they can recur. They can get blown by those westerlies back into the southwest. So we can see those spillovers, as you mentioned, in sort of September and October and even early parts of November. And there is a relationship between these warm sea surface temperatures that are influenced by El Nino and the frequency of these events. They tend to be more frequent during El Nino events. And we have really warm sea surface temperatures across the Pacific, tropical Pacific, but also along the California coast as well. So there's still chances for some pretty big moisture dollops in the next few weeks.
Well, I'm sure some of our listeners saw the front page of the Arizona Daily Star today. USA Today also has this story, Sierra Nevada snowpack lowest in 500 years, five centuries. Mm-hmm. This was research done at the University of Arizona Laboratory of Tree Ring Research. Some of your colleagues in dendrochronology came up with this. And basically, Zach, we're talking about an average of 5 feet of snow in the High Sierra. That's kind of where it is when they do this measurement. This time, there was actually bare ground showing.
Yeah, the California situation over the last 3 years has been pretty grim. Other studies have pointed to the confluence of really low precipitation and also warm temperatures that have caused the drought in the last 3 years to be, as you mentioned, the worst in the last 500 years. So hopefully that situation may change with this El Nino, which tends to bring increases the odds of wetter conditions. But you know the 3 years back-to-back years of dry conditions have been influenced by this persistent high pressure system that's set over California that's really helped funnel wintertime storms north of the region.
And historically, there's been dry years over there. I mean, they've had repeated dry years, but perhaps the ingredient that's been thrown in with the dry are these excessive temperatures, these record high temperatures.
Right. So that the study that you mentioned looked at the last winter. Another study that was done with Tree Rings Dendrochronology looked at the past 3 years and looked at the precipitation and the temperature and then the combination of those two. And the precipitation, the percent of average precipitation hasn't been novel, hasn't been there's been conditions like that in the historical record last 100 years or so. But what has really changed is the combination of low precipitation and warm conditions.
All right. I believe we have Ingrid would like to speak with Dr. Zach Guido. Ingrid, go ahead with your question. Zach is ready.
Hi. Is precipitation affected by the condition of the ground? For instance, there have been a lot of forest fires. Would that change atmospheric conditions and kind of compete with incoming weather in some way?
It can. That's a really good question. It can reinforce atmospheric conditions. So, you know, in the monsoon, for example, when you have some rains and then you get the trees that are sort of breathing back some of that moisture back into the atmosphere, it can add to what's being wafted in by the atmosphere. So there is that sort of local feedback. It tends, you know, to operate more on sort of local to slightly larger spatial scales and not influence regional scales.
It is a good question, and some of the firefighters today were talking about the California, the horrible fires going on, that they actually had drizzle that literally was evaporated. It didn't get anywhere near the fires.
Yeah, so large fires can actually create their own weather.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, and it tends to be more of the sort of the dampening effect of the local conditions and exacerbating the dry conditions.
Okay, so now let's move on to El Nino and your prediction, Zach Ida. Are you looking for above normal precipitation in southern Arizona? In the winter.
Yeah, so the El Nino, which is going to be, people are going to hear about this repeatedly because it is evolving as one of the strongest events on record. So the two previous strong, really strong events were in 82, 83, and 97 and 98. And this one is, the current conditions are running, the sea surface temperatures are slightly not as warm as those conditions, but it's right there. And the expectation is that with this El Nino event, that the models and the predictions are forecasting for above average conditions in above average precipitation, slightly below average temperatures in the southern tier of the United States. Now, it's important, though, one of the misconceptions with El Ninos and La Ninas, for that example, is that they, if it's a strong El Nino, that it will always bring wet conditions. It's not the case. It just elevates the odds.
Okay.
And the other misconception is that each month or that a sort of space or temporally the same. And there's dry periods within the winter. There's wet periods within the winter. So we're going to get a fair amount of variability, a fair amount of weather, you know. But by and large, if the expectation holds up, we should get above average precipitation.
Well, I wasn't here for that, the one you mentioned, the early 80s, but that was the one that I've seen the pictures of the damage that did along the Rito.
Right.
And I was here for the 97-98 winter, and the Rito was running most of the winter. I mean, it was unbelievable. That was a tremendous rain year.
Yeah, and you know, some places had their biggest winter on record, but other places didn't. So I don't believe Tucson did. I don't believe Phoenix did either. But you know, we'll see. People will be hearing a lot more about El Nino because it has a global fingerprint, and it affects places like the Caribbean, South America, Indonesia, and a lot of parts of the world, and can do quite a bit of extensive damage.
All right, Zach Ida from the University of Arizona, always a wealth of information when it comes to weather. Is there a website that you'd like to point some of our listeners to, or is there something that you would like to mention?
Sure. Thanks. Climus, or Climus, depending on how you pronounce it. You can find this information or related information at www.climas.arizona.edu.
And it's an acronym for something that I probably don't have time for.
It's the Climate Assessment of the Southwest.
Thanks, Zach. Have a great day.
Thank you.
This portion of Buckmaster brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. There's a lot to do, and it has greened up really nice over in Southwest New Mexico. Visit historic downtown Silver City. It's only 3 hours east of Tucson. Many nice places to stay, like Casitas de Gila Guest Houses and Silver City KOA and Burrow Mountain Homestead RV Park. The full listing of places to stay and things to do available at southwestnewmexico.org. Shelley Fishman with the good news about Wall Street next.
Honey, what are you doing?
I'm going over the checklist for our holiday party at Reed Park Zoo.
Santa, music, falling snow, twinkling lights, and food are already going to be there. Reed Park Zoo takes care of everything.
I didn't realize it would be so easy.
Honey, all you have to do is call and book the party.
Whether you're hosting a formal wedding or a casual barbecue, the Reed Park Zoo provides a fun environment for an unforgettable event. For more information about booking your next get-together, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for our monthly visit with Dr. Victoria Mays, as the Executive Director of the UA-based Center for Integrative Medicine, plus a Reed Park Zoo update on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And the gentleman that we consult with all of our tax and, tax is not his specialty, but financial planning is.
There you go.
Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you today?
I'm very well today, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well, and I was very surprised to learn right before the mics went hot that you were telling me that we're actually very close to where we started this year.
Right. We could declare today January 1st, and nobody would be able to notice that we were very wrong.
Wow. What happened? Worked our way back.
We have. We worked our way back a couple of weeks ago.
You were saying we're down
about 5 or 6% on the Dow, but the NASDAQ was still close to even. So it hasn't affected all the indices the same way, but you know, clearly all of the gains that we experienced up until, what was it, the end of June have been erased. And now we get to start anew.
China sort of faded into the background.
Not really.
Okay.
When you talk about what fundamental changes is affecting the economies of the world or are affecting the economies of the world, you can't now ever begin that conversation without saying it's China.
Mm-hmm.
Those fundamentals, the fundamentals that say an economy that is arguably the first largest economy in the world, or certainly the second, when it goes from 12% growth down to 7%, or some would say 3% growth. You know, we don't know that those numbers are very reliable, and it's not clear the Chinese know what the reliable numbers are, simply because there are so many elements to GDP growth that are not very sophisticatedly tracked in China. But when you have a percentage change in an economy that large, it just affects everything else worldwide. So especially commodities, the stuff that China imports, in order to maintain that kind of growth, that has all slowed down miserably. The slower demand, of course, has caused lower prices. And so the countries that have been dependent upon that kind of trade are now taking a double whammy. They're taking a double whammy in terms of the units sold and also the fact that the prices are lower.
Yeah, and I was going to say that the other elephant in the room is the Fed. And the Fed has their meeting at, I believe...
They're there.
It's Thursday at about 11 o'clock.
When they announce.
Yeah, when they'll announce. Yeah. That will be our time. So the market will still be open. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the time. Or will the market have closed?
No, the market... Normally,
they wait.
Gosh,
till
you got me.
Yeah. Normally, they wait.
They wait till just after the close.
Just after the close. So what's your prediction?
My prediction is they're not going to do anything, but they'll you know, the person who gets stopped for a ticket and says, "Officer, don't give me a ticket, give me a good warning." that's what's going to happen here. We'll get more articulation of the fact that we need to start doing this, but for various reasons, we can't do it right now.
And the market then, if they do not, if the Fed does not go with higher rates, you would assume there'd be a big bounce, or are we already getting maybe a build-in bounce
right
now?
There is today.
Yeah.
And, you know, yesterday wasn't a bad day. Last week was an up week. I think the consensus among most economists and among most market watchers is that the Fed won't do anything. So that would indicate that it's built in. But what people will listen to, of course, is not so much what the Fed does, but what the Fed says. Mm-hmm. So the all eyes will be on December, and if the Fed gives indications that they're more than likely, more than not likely to raise rates in December. But even then, it's going to be gradual. It'll be 15 or 25 basis points, and that shouldn't affect anything materially. You know, the Fed is facing several problems, Bill. We've talked about this, you know, a whole bunch. One of the problems they're facing is that they're out of quivers. You know, they're out of arrows in their quiver. Mm-hmm. If something were to happen to the U.S. economy, the Fed doesn't have very much right now to fall back on in terms of what they can do to set things aright. The second problem the Fed has, and it's a very large one, is that the world economy is so completely interdependent that for the Fed to begin to raise interest rates and pull money, pull investment from our trading partners like Europe and Asia into the United States, that would create some really large problems for those other economies. In addition, one of the things our politicians have not found a good way to do is take advantage of the low interest rates when it comes to investing in our infrastructure and some of the other things that we have to be investing
in.
And you know, the Fed knows that. And they know that by raising interest rates, they are affecting potentially the balance of payments and the deficit spending of the United States. It's a very delicate position and very complex, lots of moving parts.
And employers are going to be looking at this too, Shelley. I think this could impact job growth too.
Well, it could, but we haven't really seen that small increases in interest rates have an effect on job growth. What happens is when you get rising interest rates for long term, you know, the long term. So, for instance, 10 or 15 or 20 year bonds, where then those interest rates begin to go up, then it becomes more and more expensive for corporations to borrow money to invest. And at that point, investment slows down. But to be perfectly honest with you, Bill, industrial investment has been so slow anyway. You know, this expansion has come largely at the expense of employees and productivity.
Yeah.
So that, you know, employees have not benefited from or shared in this expansion over the past couple of years. In fact, the past 2 years, they've actually had negative growth in real ability to share in the growth of GDP. So we've got some resetting that needs to be done. And, you know, clearly we have a Fed chairman now and the majority of the Fed bank presidents who would rather err on the side of being less conservative than more conservative.
All right, Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner, with us every Tuesday with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley, what's the best way to reach you?
BuckmasterShow.com, hit the hyperlink, and we're off.
All right, we're going to be talking about expanding our workforce. We have the Chancellor of Pima Community College. That's going to be coming up next after we take our mid-show break. Shelley, I hope you have a great rest of the week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or the station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Did you know that most men die from preventable illnesses, or they simply accept many health conditions as part of getting older? That's why Tucson urologists formed Epic Health, a clinic designed just for men. In just 15 minutes, you can get a free screening worth $1,600 that looks at simple testosterone levels, vitamin deficiencies, various cancers, and a lot more. Epic Health is located at Grant and Swan and Crossroads East by Outback Steakhouse. Call 448-0401. Real doctors, real medicine, Epic Health. Men's healthcare, evolve.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control is announcing they now have pigeon services with a pigeon poem. Pigeons procreate prodigiously, producing up to 8 progeny per year. Perching precariously, they plaster half their weight in poop per day. Poop collects, creating a problem with parasites and pestilence. Employ Five Star Pest Control's pigeon trapping and exclusion program, and you will be pleased. Whew, getting through that was way harder than you might think. Call Five Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
We know what bugs you.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Now, as we resume our monthly interview series presented by Pima Community College, this series introduces our listeners to the very talented and dedicated educators who call Pima's six community campuses home. Today we hear from Pima Community College Chancellor Lee Lambert. Chancellor Lambert on the live line with us. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. Bill, how are you doing?
Doing very well. Congratulations. The Pima Community College Board praising your leadership in your second year, exceeding expectations for overall performance in running the school. Congratulations on that regard. Tell me, how do you assess how we are doing right now at Pima as we get a month or so now into this new school year?
Well, you know, certainly when I first began, I talked about the need for accountability and transparency, talked about the need for engagement and looking at how we start to listen better to the community, to our students, to our employees. And so what you're now seeing is that level of effort is starting to become more noticed in a good way. So that's one way I know that message is getting out.
Talk about this new initiative that you and your colleagues are presenting, something called the competency-based education. What does that mean?
Okay. So let me take a step back.
Okay.
So one of the things I learned when I first arrived here in Tucson and to begin my job at Pima was that we didn't have a good connection, good interface to the business community. So we hired a vice president for workforce to become our single point of contact. So as we put that in place, and as I continued to survey the landscape, not only here locally, but across the country, it's becoming clearer and clearer that there's a need for new levels of ways to bring students into the workforce. And so what you're seeing at the national level is this notion of competency-based education is emerging and evolving. And so how could Pima better interface with that reality that's growing across the country as a way to, again, meet the needs of our area businesses? So we, fortunately, thanks to some relationships I had prior to coming here to Pima, was able to build off of those relationships to become to be invited to learn more about what the College for America was doing around competency-based education. College for America is based out of Southern New Hampshire University up in the northeastern portion of the United States.
And these, when you talk about competency-based education, Chancellor, this allows students who have prior work experience in a particular field, and they want to improve where they are in their standing necessarily, they can get more education and hopefully even a better job.
Right. So when you think about competency-based, it's the focus is on you being able to demonstrate that you possess certain knowledge, skills, and abilities, and it's no longer going to be tied to the credit hour as a way for you to demonstrate whether you have learned or have obtained those knowledge, skills, and abilities. So what a competency-based approach allows you to do is you could demonstrate through past work that you understand or possess these competencies, and then you get assessed for that, and if you're successful in that assessment of that, then you get awarded credit based on that effort. So what competency-based model allows a person to do at the end of the day is to accelerate through their educational experience to a certificate or to a degree without being tied to that credit hour. So I don't have to come and sit in a 16-week class to prove that I have the knowledge, skills, and abilities that come out of that 16-week class. If I've already obtained it, I have a way now to demonstrate that so that I can get the credit sooner than later.
What would be some examples of what's going on at Pima right now that would dovetail into this?
So an example of that is you look at, now I use this as a crude example,
okay.
What I'm about to give you, because it's more complicated than that. So someone could look at, say, one of our current workforce programs and say, you know, do I know how to work on a car?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I learned how to work on a car before I arrived at Pima. So in a competency-based model, I might be able to directly assess or demonstrate that I have the competency around working on engines, as an example, and then I could get the credit for that without having to go through a whole a week's worth of training around that. But that application is probably not best in that context, but I just use that as an example. But I think what you're going to see is we have folks who come out of the military is another example of this. They come with a set of skills.
Right.
And can we, through this model of competency-based, reward them or award them credit based on that set of skills that they've already demonstrated in that environment? Therefore, they don't have to come back and go through weeks and weeks of courses when they already possess the competency.
Now, these are more expensive, these kinds of programs, aren't they, than your general education classes?
Well, actually, here's the interesting thing about this. So a competency-based education program through the College for America, you could take as much in the curriculum as you can handle in 1 year for the price or for the tuition of $2,500. So what I'm saying to you is I've just cut the cost to my degree significantly through a competency-based approach to education. Now, here's the interesting thing. For us at Pima, 1 year is about $2,400.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it's not that much more in terms of starting with us, but the difference is I could do more in that 1 year through competency-based than I could do for 1 year through Pima. So in effect, I might be able to get a year and a half worth of work, maybe 2 years worth of work done in that 1 year versus having to do 2 years with Pima.
How about nursing?
Well, nursing is going to be a little more that's why I get back to the automotive example I used. It was very crude. It's true with nursing. Nursing, accreditation standards will require so much time on task that I think it may be harder to design a program around certain elements. So, for example, you got to do certain clinicals. You need so much didactic experience in certain topical areas. So we may not be able to work in that model unless we get flexibility from the accreditors. And I would say that the same could probably be said about aviation, where you have FAA standards
mm-hmm.
that you have to demonstrate as well. So there may be some areas where the model won't work perfectly with it, but it does open the door about why not those areas. If I can demonstrate my competency based on prior experience, et cetera, why could I not accelerate through that? But that involves these other third parties.
We have a caller, Jim. I think it's our friend Jim Kelly has a question about this particular model. Go ahead, Jim. You're with Chancellor Lambert.
Hi,
Jim.
Chancellor Lambert. First off, I thank you very much for at least attempting to do this program. 23 years ago, I entered the University of New York in Albany through the United States Navy.
Mm-hmm.
What we did was we accumulated my degrees, my diplomas from the Defense Language Institute, every class I graduated from within the United States Navy. I clept a lot of exams and basically was able to do a four-year college degree in about 6 months.
Wow.
And I still did have to do seat time.
Right.
So, because we did, like weekend seminars that would cover an entire semester's worth of work.
Sure.
So I still had to take the train up to Albany and go do some seat time. But it was a great program. so glad you guys are trying and are going to try to do something very, very similar, because our veterans could probably be the people who most benefit mm-hmm. from this, as well as people who are trying to transition to new jobs, but they don't have the certifications yep. of 20 years ago.
That's so, a good right, point.
Please keep going, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid if you don't know what you're doing, yeah. because it's going to work out.
Thank you, Jim.
And let me add to that, because, you know, what we're talking about here is not something new in terms of concept. Mm-hmm. It's how do we build on what's been there, and how do we accelerate that into much greater areas? And thank you for your service, Jim. And like yourself, Jim, I OJT'd when I was in the Army to be a legal clerk.
Mm-hmm.
All that knowledge I had gained at that time when I came out into the civilian world had no application for purposes of certifications and degree.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to, you know, build off of that work, there was no way to do that but to start from ground zero. I couldn't even clep those pieces, unfortunately. And so so I think, you know, we should leverage people's backgrounds and experiences in a better way. And this is going to allow us to create a better model for that to happen.
All right. Very good stuff. Chancellor Lee Lambert, thank you very much for being with us. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bill. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot. Chancellor Lee Lambert, Pima Community College. You can learn more about Pima Community College, and we encourage you to do so. Visit their fine website. It's pima.edu. Coming up on 1245 on Buckmaster, the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report. Margaret Regan is going to be joining us right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Welcome back to Buckmaster, where the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report is sponsored by the crown jewel of downtown, Fox Tucson Theater. Fox is thrilled to present Emmy and multi-American Comedy Award-winning comedian Dana Carvey, pretty much one of the most recognizable, I think, of the Saturday Night Live's most talented alumni. That's going to be Friday, September the 18th, and gather the whole family together for the National Circus and Acrobats of the People's Republic of China. That's September the 24th. For tickets to see the National Circus and Acrobats of the People's Republic of China presenting their show Peking Dreams on September 24th. And then Dana Carvey, he puts on a great show. That's coming up on Friday, September the 18th. We urge you to visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now longtime Tucson arts writer for the Tucson Weekly. She's also the author of two books. Her second book and most recently published is titled Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. Joining us, Margaret Regan. How are you, Margaret?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Good. You getting ready for your trip back to Massachusetts for your book tour?
I am. Tomorrow morning, I'm flying very early to Boston.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'll be speaking there at Bridgewater State University and at a very old Unitarian church and in the same town that's dating from the 1840s. So I'm looking forward to bringing the message of the border to another part of the country.
I'm so glad you're on Facebook because now I can follow what you're doing. And you posted a picture of that really beautiful old church.
I know, that you're going to speak. Amazing, like 1840s Greek Revival.
Yeah, very cool. Anyway, you've got a piece coming up in the Tucson Weekly, and it's about something called GLOW.
Yeah.
Is that like an acronym for this arts and music festival in Oracle?
I don't think it's an acronym. I think it's really a description. It really started out as a full moon celebration. It's at a beautiful ranch in Oracle, about 50 very lush desert acres, and it's run by an artist named Sharon Holmbach. She does a bed and breakfast up there, Triangle L Ranch. So she's been doing this arts and music festival for 15 years now, and it's just enchanting. You go up there, and she's got sculptures lining the desert trails, and all the artists are supposed to make something that involves light. You know, some of them do shiny gold leaf. One guy's doing gold leaf on tree branches.
Hmm.
Other people incorporate little lights into their pieces. So it's just lovely, and then she's always got a band going, and there's food, and it's just kind of an event like no other. Starts this Saturday night. She's doing a special family edition. Gets started a little earlier at 6, then it's a little cheaper, and people can bring their kids.
So this is held over 4 Saturday nights, and you can't ask for a better time of year to do these kind of outdoor events.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, and I've been a bunch of times, but Sharon is saying this might be the very last GLOW. You can imagine the labor it takes to put on a thing like that, and she was getting up to like 1,000 people coming and caused a lot of traffic problems. So she's limited. You have to go to an advance ticket, and she's limiting the ticket to 500 people. But she said she's really moving towards having smaller events year-round. She's kind of established an art park in her desert, 5 acres dedicated to art and nature. And she's amassing a permanent collection of outdoor sculptures up there. So this may be the last chance for the very special time, you know, to go up there with the moon and the early fall.
So probably the best way would be to Google Triangle L Ranch to get directions.
That's right, yeah. You wouldn't even try to write them down. But basically you're going up Oracle Road, you know, all the way to the town of Oracle, and it's very close to the town center.
Okay, and your current piece in the weekly is about Celtic music and a Celtic music concert that I believe is Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. Cassie and Maggie McDonald are playing Thursday night at St. Francis in the Foothills Church over at River and Swan. And I interviewed one of them. They're just so sweet and young. They're like 22 and 24 years old, these young women from Nova Scotia. And I learned a lot about Nova Scotia talking to Cassie McDonald. It's a very heavily Scottish oriented place and much great celebration of traditional Scottish culture. They grew up as little girls doing Highland dancing. She said, that's what all the little girls in Nova Scotia do. And they both were trained classically as musicians. Cassie plays violin and Maggie plays piano, but then they gravitated towards using those classical skills to do Celtic and Scottish music. So that's what they did, and they're quite skilled, though, you know. So now it's a fiddle and piano, and she tells me Americans always think that's a little bit of an odd combination, but it's what one does in Nova Scotia, and their grandparents were quite well-known musicians dating back to, post-war. The grandfather made all these records out of Montreal, and radio up there is quite big in rural places, and so they're pretty well known Celtic Scottish musicians, and the granddaughters take after them with this traditional music.
That whole area of Atlantic Canada and up to even into Newfoundland is just so rich in the Celtic a tradition, and they really have some wonder. You actually, when you're up there, you think, I've been to Nova Scotia, and you really think you could be in Dublin or Ireland or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know why I've never gone there. I've always wanted to go, and it seems like what a rich history. She was telling me there was kind of almost an exodus from the Scottish Highlands in the 1770s, and some terrible oppression going on, and Scotland lost a lot of its traditional culture makers, musicians and so on in that time, but they came to Nova Scotia, which, as you know, means New Scotland, and kind of recreated the homeland there, I guess.
You had a recent piece in the Tucson Weekly about what's going on at the UA Special Collections, which is a really interesting show that's up through, I believe, January 14th, which documents the Tucson neighborhoods that have been lost to urban renewal.
Right. And, this is a story that's close to my heart. When really I started working as a reporter at the Weekly, it was one of the first stories I did. I did a really big cover story. And at that time, some of the elderly people who were displaced were still alive, and I got to interview them. It's really a blot on Tucson's history. It was the downtown that eventually, the part of downtown that now has the convention center and some of those government buildings, was a very vibrant Mexican neighborhood. And what this show at Special Collections does is show us what it really looked like, because, the word given out in Tucson at the time was that it was a terrible slum and it just deserved to be leveled. But this show has 72 photos of buildings right before they were knocked down.
Yeah.
In the photos, the streets are deserted. It looks like a ghost town. But some very beautiful and intact and historically significant buildings were down there. And this show is amazing because, when I did that story, almost 20 years ago, people told me, there are photos of these buildings, but nobody knows quite where they are. And I always thought, well, whatever happened to those photos? And here, Bob Diaz, a librarian at Special Collections, has unearthed them from the archives there. And he said they had never been printed. They were just in negatives. And he has digitized those, and you can actually look at them online. And for this show, they printed up 72 of them. And, it's not a flashy show. It's just these little black and white photographs of the buildings. But it's just so eye-opening to get a chance to see them. And he also found film. A City of Tucson worker was apparently told to film some of the demolitions.
Hmm.
So you actually see some of these buildings
wow.
coming out. It feels violent.
Yeah. All done in the name of urban renewal at the time. Yeah.
So Thursday night, there's going to be a very interesting panel there. Four people, probably mostly 50s, 60s, in that age category, who grew up in Tucson and knew that neighborhood before it went down, are going to be speaking. And Lydia Otero, a professor at the U of A, who wrote a wonderful book about this whole project. It was her dissertation, and then she published it as a book called La Calle. She documents the whole thing in that book, and she'll be there, and she's really the authority on
all
that,
right. So. That's 6 to 8 over at Special Collections at the U of A. Thanks a lot.
Thursday night, yeah.
Okay, Margaret, have a great trip back
Thanks,
east.
I will, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Margaret Regan of the Tucson Weekly with us, the every other Tuesday Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting one of Saturday Night Live's most talented alumni, comedian Dana Carvey, September the 18th, and a couple of music icons coming to town, Herb Alpert and Lanny Hall. Herb, of course, an 8-time Grammy winner, possibly the best-known trumpet player in the world. He'll be joined by Grammy winner Lanny Hall, famous as the lead singer of Sergio Mendes in Brazil 66. So that's going to be Herb Alpert and Lanny Hall on September the 26th. Dana Carvey on September 18th, the National Circus and Acrobats of the People's Republic of China, September 24th. You can get all the ticket information at foxtucson.com. Remember, we have a special time for Tucson at 4 tomorrow. That'll be at 1 o'clock, right after the Buckmaster Show. About 24 hours from now, it'll be Supervisors Allie Miller and Ray Carroll going at it, talking about the bonds. So that's tomorrow. Also, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8, and then Chris and Joe, and then Chris DeSimone, 8 to 9 with the Daily Double. Bill Buckmaster back with you with Ed Alexander, 12:04 tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk, 24-7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.